Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Hi Dave, how are you?
Hi there, how's it going, Ant?
Ah, we're in good form. And yourself? I'm actually frozen, Dave. This weather is testing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, especially like this day 2 weeks ago, I was 38 degrees centigrade in Burma. And for some funny reason, I thought when I got back, you know, we'd have lovely spring weather, 12, 13 degrees.
So you stepped off the plane in your Bermudas and shades,
jeepers.
Yeah.
Well, I just couldn't believe how
cold
it was. Only
to get a sharp bout of frostbite and goose pimples.
And I haven't been warm since.
Right. Yeah. I saw actually online there was some news thing and they were showing the photos from this time last year. And one of the photos was this kid with a big smile on his face jumping off a bridge into the water for a swim, you know.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, isn't it?
That is bizarre.
Yeah. Well, Dave, anyway, last week we had on the podcast, we had a fantastic interview that you had with Run Leanne from Burma.
And, yes.
Now, just in case any listeners get any funny ideas, that we have a massive budget here in Pilgrim Talk to send our journalists around the world. It's not quite like that, but anyway.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Well, maybe next time you could send me to the Caribbean or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. So anyway, let me ask you, Dave, don't mind me asking you a few questions here about Burma.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm fascinated by it. It's a country that's changed, I think, a lot in recent years. But back in 72, there was a revival in the Chin state in Burma.
And, well, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know about that, or what did you hear about it?
Well, I heard about it first from my friend Run Leanne, and then I read up on it afterwards because it was such a remarkable story.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, for years and years and years, there had been a certain amount of missionary activity among the Chin people in the north of Burma. And especially Assemblies of God missionaries had gone in there, you know, and had labored and had you know, certain results.
During what years?
This would have been the 60s and the early 70s.
Right.
Then, I can't remember the exact date, but the Burmese government decided that all the missionaries had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the work was handed over to...
Always, Dave, seems to be a recipe for revival.
Well,
send the missionaries home. Sounds ironic, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. But there was one young Burmese man who went from Rangoon up to Chin State to minister up there,
mm-hmm.
Coming from Assembly's background, and I was very interested in, you know, what they said in the written report that I read afterwards,
yeah.
That they were very prayerfully seeking God for something to happen among the Chin people. It said, you know, that they prayed for hours, night and day, and then the Holy Spirit came.
Wow!
And what was amazing was that, you know, all that work that the Assemblies people had done and poured years of their lives into, and, you know, resources and missionary activity and all that, it was completely outstripped in a matter of months.
Hmm.
In other words, you know, they couldn't contain it. And it just seemed to me, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, and, you know, maybe there's a lesson in this for us in Ireland as well, you know, praise God for the people who come and labour and... you know, pour their lives into getting churches planted and getting things set up and working.
That Dave, should be a real word of encouragement to a lot of people who labour for years. I remember the story, I think Chris Rowe tells a story about Miss Mandeville, who for years in Ireland preached on the street and witnessed and laboured like tirelessly for a long, long, long time and didn't see any individual come to Jesus. And yet, out of her ministry years later, you know, there were people impacted and which spread out to a revival and everything. So it's a huge encouragement to think that a seed can sit in the ground for a long period of time before it germinates.
It germinates,
you know, it's like that.
Yeah.
like the seed in Tutankhamun's tomb. Do you ever hear that? They found some corn seed.
Yeah, it sprouted.
And they managed to cultivate it after all those 2,000 years or something. So cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, so it should be really encouraging for us, you know. But that the revival that, you know, we're looking for and that we're seeking for Ireland,
yeah.
You know, we really want something that will outstrip all the work that's been done.
Isn't there a great scripture for that, Dave, about the ploughman overtaking the reaper?
Well, that's right now, and I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the kind of thing that's stirring in my heart for Ireland.
Yeah.
That's the level of outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, these guys in Burma, they prayed for hours, day and night. And I was just thinking, why were they praying? Was it because they had really become, you know, very dedicated, or their vision had been awakened to, you know, the possibility of revival or all this,
yeah.
Or because they had really dedicated themselves, or that they were the real zealous type? Well, you know, it came to me, the reason why they prayed was, do you know why?
Why?
Well, because revival is in the hands of God.
That's right.
That's why they prayed. Because you can't get it anywhere else, you know.
Yeah, wow.
And that's where it begins.
Yeah.
But then the Holy Spirit came, and, you know, all the infrastructure just wasn't sufficient. So there were, you know, boys and girls going off from village to village, and young people going from village to village, people getting baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Never heard of that before.
Not
didn't
fantastic.
Know what it was,
yeah.
But God just did it.
So the old theologians couldn't keep up, eh? With the wildfire.
And within a very short space of time.
You know, Dave, that's what happens when a real Holy Spirit revival happens. I'm thinking of the story about Jesus when he reached out to the Gerasene demoniac. Remember this guy in the tombs? He was naked and nobody wanted to know him and all the rest. And Jesus set him free. And Jesus put him in charge of evangelism for a number of cities instantly. You know,
really?
Something that would never happen today, you know.
Right.
But, you know, once he got it, he fully 100% got it, you know. And that's what happens when people meet Jesus, is they get the full package. You know?
Well, you just enter into a whole different level of what it means to walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I want to come back to later on.
Yeah, wow.
But just to say that the outcome of this outpouring was that within a very short space of time, the entire northern portion of Chin State had become fully converted.
Transformed,
Transformed. Wow. About 500,000 people.
Yeah.
By a sovereign work of God.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And, you know, what I noticed with the believers that I met in Burma was that this expectation not very far from the surface, you know, because as soon as you start talking about the Holy Spirit, they just get so encouraged.
Yeah, wow.
And you know, and in a lot of cases, what they're doing at the moment is they're doing the kind of the infrastructure stuff, the hard slog stuff.
Right.
You know, building churches and trying to set up Bible colleges. And, you know, all the real tough stuff.
Yeah.
But you start talking about the Holy Spirit and you just see the thirst and the hunger in their hearts, because that's what they were born in.
Right. Now, we don't hear that much about Burma or Myanmar. Do they call it Myanmar or Myanmar?
I can't remember. I think it's Myanmar.
Myanmar, right, which is the ancient name for Burma. And they wanted to forget about the colonial name, which was Burma. And they went back to the old name. But the military leadership is a little less oppressive than it was. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I didn't really go in very much to the political situation, but I understand that some of the military leadership resigned and became civilians.
Right.
And then when elections came around, they put themselves forward for election. So I think some of them are probably still in positions of power right now, but Aung San Suu Kyi.
Oh, right, yeah, she's famous, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she would have, like, unparalleled influence in the country. I mean, the people just love her.
And amongst the believers that you met, they would really like her and support her, would they?
They would, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We better say hello to our friends in the secret police. I'm sure they're listening in. So, hello to you in Burma, or Myanmar. And we're saying nice things about you, don't worry. And, okay, how are Christians generally, Dave, received in Burma? What's the predominant religion there?
Well, the predominant religion is Buddhist.
Right.
And the Buddhist, despite the riots that we're hearing about at the moment, Buddhist people tend to be very tolerant people. Generally, it's not a religiously fraught situation. I mean, Buddhists are acceptant of all kinds of faith, you know. So mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is, you know, another God to acknowledge with many gods.
That's fine, but if you say he's the only God or there's the only way to the Father is through Jesus, I guess that might rile them a little bit, does it?
Well, they would probably disagree with you at any rate.
Yeah.
But you know, my friend was saying to me that he was having a conversation with another Christian out in the countryside area of Burma.
Yeah.
And somebody was overheard him and came over to him and said, you know, what is this Jesus? Is it a smell? Is it a taste?
My goodness.
Had absolutely
no concept,
no idea
whatsoever. Wow.
And, you know, for my friend, that just really sort of, that lights his fire, stirs him up.
Yeah.
He says, when you come next year, we will go out to the village and we will do a Good News Festival.
Wow.
So I'm really interested in...
I mean, it's a fascinating thought for us to talk to people who had never heard the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And had no Christian religious kind of inoculations, you know.
Yes.
So fascinating. Totally different, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, some argue we're getting to the place over here in the Western world where they virtually haven't heard of the name of Jesus, outside of swearing, of course. But you know.
But can you imagine somebody who has never even heard the name of Jesus as a swear word?
It's hard to imagine. It's not impossible, you know. If people have an interest, Dave, if they heard our previous podcast and this one, they might have an interest in knowing more directly about Burma and contacting Run Lian, whose English is quite good, actually. So can they email him? Is it okay to do that, do you think?
Well, I spoke to him about that and he said yes. He'd be happy for people to contact him. And
what's his email address?
His email is, let me see now, DTS... 4, as in the digit, 4christ@gmail.com.
All right, Gmail.
So
hey, that's handy. Okay.
That's DTS4christ@gmail.com.
Right, what's the DTS stand for?
I don't know.
Keep you guessing. That's great, yeah. Even if someone felt led to send him a short message and say, I heard about your ministry and God bless you, even the tiniest word of encouragement from the other side of the world, I think that you can never underestimate the power of encouragement.
Yeah.
Would I be right in saying that, Dave?
Well, yes. And you know, there are very few missionaries or travelling ministers or that who wash up on the Burmese shores. So any encouragement like that would be really very, very helpful.
Yeah. Now, in his home, which is also his church, he runs a children's home. Now, I saw some photographs of this. I thought it was fascinating. Packs the place out with kids. And tell us a little bit about that, Dave. What sort of is it an orphanage or is it a creche or a school or what is it?
Well, he calls it Hope Children's Home. And really, I mean, I think maybe some of the kids there might be orphans. Other kids would maybe be from very difficult backgrounds, where their families are not able to look after them,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe one of their parents is dead and the other one is not coping very well. They would have, there's 28 kids altogether.
Wow.
In the home, including three of his own.
And they come in every day and they get food teaching and go on home then, or what?
No, they live there.
Oh, they live there, they sleep there?
Yeah, because, I mean, some of them come from Chin State, which is, and would be known to Run Lian's family.
Are they all
in
like
Chin
living
State?
There?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. So he's got a huge family, eh?
When I was there, actually, talking to Run Lian and his wife, a kid came in off the street and just sat on the bench, and they kind of looked at each other, because this is a local kid,
mm-hmm.
who is from a very difficult family background, who just has started to roll up to the home,
right?
Just for, you know, just to be with kids that he can relate to,
yeah.
And you know, have some food and that there.
Wow.
Gosh, but
remarkable.
You know, well, what is totally remarkable, I'd love to get this video up on the web sometime. I'm going to work on this.
Yeah, well, keep an eye on Pilgrim Talk, because as soon as we have that organised, we'll have a link and a connection
link. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Because when we were doing the seminar for the church, we did 2 days of a seminar, and one of the girls who from the home, who's maybe 6 years old, came up with the question, you know, you have seminars for the adults, but why don't you have seminars for the kids?
Yeah, well, they're hungry.
So we immediately decided the next day we would have a seminar for the kids, which we did. And I mean, just to hear these kids worship is just such a blessing.
Wow.
It's quite extraordinary.
Spirit,
you know,
yeah.
You know what their theme song is?
What?
I mean, it's just heartbreaking. Their theme song is, God will make a way where there seems to be no way.
Wow.
He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will make a way.
Wow.
And they belt this out at the top of their voice. I have it on video.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait
you have
that.
To see it. They just belt it out at the top of their voice.
Right.
Just
Dave,
amazing.
Dave, I'm going to give you a final question, because our time is running out virtually.
Oh, Jesus.
What lessons would there be for Ireland from all of this?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, if we pray and ask the Lord, why would we not trust him and believe him for the kind of outpouring that was the normal experience of Chin State?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
let's, because... you know, because this is the day when the Lord is really pouring out his spirit all over the world. Why not in Ireland?
Yeah. Well, you know, that word, it's from Jeremiah, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, you know, I'll turn here from heaven, heal their land, you know. And
yeah.
It's like, and that's, I'm hearing it again and again, confirmed from different people, that being the word of the Lord, you know, as we get down on our knees, come before Holy God and ask him for his mercy in this land, you know, we can we can believe for it to happen in a dramatic and a sudden way, and a thorough way. So on that note, Dave, I'm going to thank you tough questions for Burma.
Well, let me just say one thing that I said earlier, just to come back to that, is, you know, why do we pray? Because at the end of the day, revival is in the hands of God.
Hallelujah. You've been
listening. Let's be praying for revival.
That's right.
Because it's in the hands of God.
Yeah. You've been listening to Pilgrim Talk. God bless you, and tune in next time.